Side 3. Continuing with 2.5.1, getting a list of existing files. Let's check out how many files we have. You should be in your practice file. It doesn't matter what text you have in it right now. We'll just assume that you're starting from there. Get to the Files menu with an O chord followed by the letter F. At the prompt, enter File command, write an L. The Braille in speech should say something like this. File list, help, 3 pages. Clipboard, 1 page. Calendar, 1 page. Braille file, 43 pages remaining, or 154 pages remaining for the 640. Enter File command. The number of pages remaining varies with the model of the Braille in speak you have, of course, and also depends on the sizes of your files. This is just an example. Notice that the list ends with Enter File command. Let's check that our practice file is still the currently open file with a T. The Braille in speak should say Practice 1 page is open, Braille file, Enter File command. For practice purposes, let's create a couple of new files before we look at how to move from file to file. Create a file called temp for temporary and another called names. We'll use the names file as our address book later on. We'll walk you through creating the temp file and let you create names by yourself. To create the file temp, press an O chord and at the option prompt, write an F to enter the Files menu. At the prompt, enter File command, write a C. The Braille in speak says, enter file to create. Write temp and press an E chord. The Braille in speak says, enter the file size. Let's make this file with 2 Braille in speak pages so that we can play with the size of the temp file later. Write a 2, dropped B, and press an E chord. The Braille in speak says, use grade 2 translator, enter YRN. Write a Y. The Braille in speak now says, temp now open. Go ahead and create the names file. You'll be in that file, ready to write something when you finish creating it. If you like, you may enter a few names and addresses, phone numbers, etc. A good idea is to write a single carriage return between each part of an entry and a double carriage return between the entries. For example, Jane Doe, carriage return, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, carriage return, Washington, D.C., double carriage return, John Doe, single carriage return, 555-1234, double carriage return. This way, you can move from entry to entry by simply pressing dots 5-6 chords to move forward or dots 2-3 chords to move backwards. We'll assume that you're in the file names as we proceed with our next topic, showing you how to move from file to file. 2.5.2, navigating through your files. Now let's explore moving from the beginning to the end of our existing files, checking out the names of each file along the way. We know how to get a list of all the files, but how do we quickly find the first file, or the last one, or one somewhere in the middle? Moving to a file does not mean that you can read or write in it. All we're doing is pointing to files, physically moving to the place in the Braille in speak's memory where the file is located, something like finding the tab in our binder of files. When you find a tab, you check out its name and either turn to the pages within it, or you move to the next tab, or to the previous one, or skip to the last one, or the first one in your binder. That's all we're doing here. To move from file to file, get into the Files menu with an O chord followed by an F. At the Enter File command prompt, you can do the following. To move to the first file, write an L chord. To move to the last file, press a dots 4-5-6 chord. to move back one file from where you are presently, press a dot one chord, and to move to the one following where you are presently, press a dot four chord. To see the name of the file you're currently pointing to, press a C chord. To spell out the name of the file you're pointing to, press a dot 2-5 chord. Does anything sound familiar in these commands? They sound suspiciously similar to the commands for navigating around a currently open file, finding the top of a file with an L chord, reading the current line with a C chord, spelling the current word with a dots 2-5 chord. You can memorize the commands to move from file to file quickly by remembering how similar they are to the ones you already know. The major difference is that these commands used within the Files menu point to files. Reading their names, how big they are, and whether they have Braille translation active. The commands you already know take you from place to place within your currently open file. Let's practice. We'll use the 640 file list as an example. With the Classic, you'll hear some slight differences. The help file is shorter, and there is no calendar file. From our currently open file, Names, press an O chord followed by an F to get the prompt Enter File command. Now press an L chord. The Braille and Speak should say something like File number 0, help, 3 pages. Now press a dot 4 chord to hear Clipboard, 1 page. Press another dot 4 chord to hear Calendar, 1 page, Braille file. Press a dot 1 chord to go back a file and hear Clipboard, 1 page. Press a dot 2-5 chord to hear the name of this file spelled out. File number 1, Clipboard. C-L-I-P-B-O-A-R-D. 1 page. Just for fun, let's see what happens when you write a T. Maybe you can't remember which file you last opened. The Braille and Speak should say, Names, 1 page, is open, Braille file. Enter file command. Now press a C chord. The Braille and Speak says, Clipboard, 1 page. Why? Even though our currently open file is Names, we're looking at the tab for the file called Clipboard. See the difference? The file we are pointing to may not be the one that's open. If we want to open the file we're pointing to, we have to tell the Braille and Speak to open that file with an O chord. Knowing whether the file you're pointing to in the Files menu is currently open is crucial. Basically, a command that affects a file issued from within the Files menu can be invoked in one of two ways. If the file you want to affect is already open, you issue a command to affect it by writing the first letter of the command, for example, R for rename. But if the file you want to affect is not open, you must point to it first and issue the command from the Files menu with its corresponding letter chord command, for example, an R chord for rename. Let's look at how to open a file next. 2.5.3, opening an existing file. So we're moving along, checking the names of files, and run across the one we want to open, even though we already had Names open. We stopped at Clipboard. That's not a good file to open because that's the Braille and Speak's trash can, scratch pad, and temporary holding area. Let's get back to our old practice file. At the prompt, enter file command, press a few dot 4 chords until you hear practice 1 page Braille file. Press an O chord. Braille and Speak says practice now open. We can go ahead and read or write here. What happened to Names? How nice that the Braille and Speak took care of closing it and saving that file for us without our having to do anything. This is a departure from the usual procedures you follow with files on your standard personal computer. The Braille and Speak is unique in that you never have to save a file, not when you go to open another file, not when you turn the unit off. Seems okay to open a file by moving it to it, as just described, and opening it with an O chord when you have just a few files. But think about what it would be like to have 30 files and having to do that. What's an easier way? If you know the name of the file you want to open, all you have to do is tell the BrailleInspeak its name, and the unit will find that file for you and open it. You're in the file practice and want to go back to the file names. Press an O chord followed by an F to get to the files menu prompt, enter file command. Then write the letter O. The BrailleInspeak says, enter file to open. Write out the name of the file and press an E chord. Almost instantaneously, the BrailleInspeak says, names now open. For practice, try opening a file that doesn't exist. At the prompt, enter file command, write hello, and press an E chord. The BrailleInspeak says, can't find that file. Enter file command. This means that the file doesn't exist or that you wrote an incorrect name. If you really think you have the file by the name you wrote, it might be that you spelled it differently. So you can always list your files to check whether a file by the name even exists, and if it seems to be there, you can move around from file to file with .4 chords and .1 chords until you're pointing to it, then hear its correct spelling with a .25 chord, and then open it with an O chord. And speaking of file names and how you spell them, take care how you name your files. What do you think will happen if you name a file Sharon using Grade 2 Braille? The BrailleInspeak will let you name your file that way. It's not smart enough to know that you're writing in Grade 2 Braille when you're in the Files menu. Braille translation works only from within a file. What happens when a file called Sharon, written in Grade 2 Braille, is pointed to, opened, appears as part of a file list, etc.? The BrailleInspeak says, comma, percent, greater, on. It sees the .6, the .sh, and the .ar signs all as ASCII symbols, not as contracted Braille. So we suggest that you always name your files using uncontracted Braille. Uh-oh. Did you use Grade 2 Braille when you created names? If so, don't worry. You'll see how to rename it shortly. But first, let's check out another way to open files using a shortcut, numbers. 2.5.4, opening an existing file by its number. Did you notice when we moved from file to file that file numbers were spoken by the BrailleInspeak as well as file names? When we go to the beginning of the file list from the Files menu with an L chord, or to the end of the list with a .456 chord, and even when we press a C chord to see the name of the file currently being pointed to, the BrailleInspeak always said something like, File 0, help, 3 pages. This is because files in the BrailleInspeak's memory are numbered sequentially. You can have a maximum of 41 files in the Classic and 77 in the 640, assuming that each file is only one BrailleInspeak page long. Of course, the actual number varies with the sizes of the files you have at any given time in the BrailleInspeak. If you have a file that has 30 BrailleInspeak pages in it, a substantial size, by the way, chances are the total number of files you'll be able to fit in the BrailleInspeak will be far less than the upper limits we provide here. We suggest that you create small files and add BrailleInspeak pages to them as needed, rather than have valuable space taken up with blank BrailleInspeak pages. But to get back to the original point of this section, the Braille and Speak numbers files sequentially. The help file is 0, the clipboard is 1, and so on. If you frequently need to get to a certain file, instead of using the methods we described above for opening an existing file, you could open the file by its number. Let's look at an example. Getting to the help file from whatever file you're in right now. What's the easiest way, remember? Press a TH sign chord, and the Braille and Speak jumps into the help file with the prompt, help is open. For example, let's say that you want to get into the fifth file on your Braille and Speak. That should be the file we created a little while ago called a temp. From the help file, press an O chord, and you'll hear the prompt option. Now, instead of getting into the files menu, as we've been doing, simply write 04, remembering to use dropped numbers. Why 04? The numbers of the file start with 0 for the help file. Therefore, the fifth file in the Braille and Speak is numbered 04. The Braille and Speak says, temp now open. It's that easy. You don't even have to press an E chord. In this case, the Braille and Speak doesn't need it. What happens if you write the number for a non-existent file, like 9, given our present number of 6 files? No problem. The Braille and Speak merely says, file doesn't exist, and leaves you exactly where you were in your currently open file. Of course, if you try to write the number in grade 2 Braille, the letter I, instead of the ASCII dropped I, the Braille and Speak will really reject your request, saying invalid input, and still leave you exactly where you were in your currently open file. The thing to be careful of in using the O chord from within a file to get to the options menu is that if you write a letter that the Braille and Speak thinks of as a real option, like the letter F that we've been working with, it will take you to that option. In the case of the letter F, we already know that. It's the files menu. Now let's move forward with several housekeeping file commands. 2.5.5, renaming a file. How about changing the name of our file called temp to drill? We're just going to practice doing things to this file as if it had data, so we can play with it without danger of messing up anything important. We'll assume that your currently open file is temp. Let's enter the files menu in the usual way with an O chord followed by an F. At the enter file command prompt, write an R. The Braille and Speak says, enter file name. Write the file name drill and press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says, okay, enter file command. Note that we're still in the files menu. To get back to the currently open file, now called drill, all we have to do is write an E to exit the files menu. But what if we want to change the name of another file, one that is not currently open? The first thing to do is to point to the file. Remember how that's done? Let's change the name of the file names to address. We don't have to open that file, we just have to point to it. So from the files menu at the enter file command prompt, press a couple of .4 chords until you're on names. Then press an R chord. The Braille and Speak says, enter file name. Write address followed by an E chord. The Braille and Speak now says, okay, enter file command, just as it did before. Where will you be when you press the E to exit the files menu? Right, back in the file drill, because that is the currently open file. Notice the difference in the two commands just discussed for renaming a file. You issue the command with an R if the file is currently open, and with an R chord if you are pointing to the file but it is not currently open. Keep this in mind as we move through the next few commands. They work the same way. 2.5.6, write protecting and unprotecting a file. To guard against a serious blunder, such as accidentally deleting your address file, you can protect files from deletion or from being overwritten in some way. For files that are absolutely essential, it is a good idea, especially if we want to try out a new command on the Braille and Speak that affects files, for example, changing its size. Protecting a file is like putting a lock on it, in effect, safeguarding yourself against losing or scrambling its contents. Once again, the protect and unprotect commands work the same way as many other commands within the files menu. If a file is already open, writing a P from the files menu protects the file. If a file is not already open, point to it first, then issue a pcord command to protect it. The corresponding command pair is the letter U and ucord for unprotecting files. Let's go through an example. Open your file called Drill if you're not already in it. Now get into the files menu with an O cord followed by an F. At the Enter File command prompt, write a P. The Braille and Speak says, file is write protected. Enter file command. Exit the files menu with an E and try writing something in your drill file. Every time you write a character, the Braille and Speak says, file is write protected. Oh, you can read the file just fine, but now you can't write anything in it. In fact, our drill file has nothing in it right now anyway. But if it did, you would only be able to read its contents, not write in the file. Let's protect our address file, shall we? You wouldn't want to lose that. Get back into the files menu with an O cord followed by an F. And at the Enter File command prompt, press some .4 chords and .1 chords until you're pointing to address. Now press a P chord. The Braille and Speak says, file is write protected. Enter file command. Great. Even though the address file is not currently open, we were able to protect it by pointing to it first and then issuing a P chord. Now let's get back to our drill file and unprotect it in case we want to write something in it or do something else with the file. All you have to do is exit the files menu with an E. Remember, you never opened your address file, just protected that. So now you should be back in Drill. Get to the files menu and at the Enter File command prompt, write a U. The Braille and Speak says, unprotected, enter file command. That's fine. Immediately exit the files menu with an E and write something in your drill file. You should be able to do that with no hitches now that the file is unprotected again. Next, we'll see how to delete a file you no longer need. 2.5.7, deleting a file. Let's delete the file called Drill. After all, it's just a junk file we're using for practice. We'll assume that you're currently in the drill file as we go through this example. Get into the files menu and at the Enter File command prompt, write it D. The Braille and Speak says, enter file to delete. Write the name of the currently open file, drill, and press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says, delete drill, are you sure? Enter Y or N. Press a Y. The Braille and Speak confirms, okay, help now open, enter file command. Since you just deleted the file you had opened, the Braille and Speak put you back into the help file. But now let's look at a slightly different scenario where the file you want to delete is not the file that is currently open. Let's get rid of our file practice. First, get into your file address. It should still be protected from when we worked through that example. Don't worry that you can't write in it for now. Get into the files menu and at the Enter File command prompt, write a D. At the prompt, Enter File to delete, write practice followed by an E chord. The Braille and Speak says, delete practice, are you sure, enter Y or N, write a Y. The Braille and Speak says, okay, enter file command. Where do you think you'll be when you exit the files menu with an E? Right, back in your address file. Why? Because the file you just deleted is not the file you had open. So the Braille and Speak went out into the binder and found the file you wanted to delete, chucked it, and returned you to your currently open file. It's like tossing something in the wastebasket under your desk. One more example of file deletion. This time, let's look at what happens when we don't have a file open, but are pointing to a file we want to delete. Open up the help file with a TH sign chord. Get into the files menu, and at the prompt, enter file command, use dots four chords until you reach the file address. You're pointing to it, but it is not open. Press a D chord. The Braille and Speak says, file is write protected. Good. Remember, we had protected the address file from just this kind of potential disaster. If the file had not been protected, the Braille and Speak would still have a safeguard for you. The prompt would have been, delete address, are you sure, enter YRN. All you'd have to do is write the letter N, and the Braille and Speak would immediately say, enter file command. And you'd still have the help file open. The last thing we'll look at related to manipulating files is changing their size. Let's play with this concept next. 2.5.8, changing the size of a file. Throughout this chapter, we've talked a lot about the Braille and Speak page. Let's briefly review this concept. A Braille and Speak page is really a block of Braille and Speak memory, consisting of space equal to 4,096 characters. If you consider that a standard 11 by 11.5 inch piece of Braille paper can hold a maximum of 1,000 characters, you can see that 4,096 is a lot. It is like having four pieces of Braille paper, each filled with characters, every single cell. And of course, that's not how Braille pages are filled. You have spaces, which, by the way, are considered to be characters by computers, and you have blank lines for formatting purposes, etc. Blank lines to a computer are expressed by the control characters we mentioned earlier, carriage returns and line feeds. Since the Braille and Speak's memory is not pieces of paper, but instead a continuous space to be filled with characters, and since the Braille and Speak doesn't care whether those characters are text or control characters, the blocks of 4,096 characters worth of memory, called pages, are hefty chunks of memory. Usually, when you create a Braille and Speak file, it's a good idea to create it with only one page, unless you know that you're going to be filling up the file very rapidly with data. Why waste valuable Braille and Speak memory by creating a file that has many pages? But the time will no doubt come when you do need to add a page to an existing file. The Braille and Speak lets you add space to a file, but only in chunks or pages of 4,096 characters worth of space. Let's see how this works. We're going to make our address file bigger. Even though right now it's big enough, let's practice adding a page to it. First, we have to unprotect it because otherwise the Braille and Speak won't let us do anything to the file. Find the file address from your files menu and open it. Don't worry that the Braille and Speak tells you that the file is write protected. Get into the files menu and unprotect the address file with a U at the enter file command prompt. The Braille and Speak should say unprotected, enter file command. Now just write an E to exit the files menu and get back into your address file. check out how much room there is left in the file at this point with an R chord. It should be considerable, over 3,500 characters worth anyway, unless you have entered lots of names and addresses. Under normal circumstances, we'd say fine, leave the file as is, and don't add to it. But for practice, let's make the file bigger. Get into the Files menu, and at the prompt, write a B. The Braille and Speak says, enter number of pages to expand. Press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says, okay. And where do you suppose you are? Yes, right where you left off within your address file. The Braille and Speak simply gave you another page worth of memory and put you back where you were in the file. If you want to increase the size of your file by more than one page at once, you would answer the prompt with a dropped number, indicating how many extra pages you want. But unless you know that you're going to be filling up a file with a lot of data quickly, such as a file from your computer, it's probably better to increase pages one at a time so that you don't waste valuable Braille and Speak space. How much room do you have in the address file now? Press an R chord. The number should be well over 8,000. Now let's return the address file to its original one-page size. This is really too big for our purposes right now. Get back into the Files menu and write an S at the Enter File command prompt. The Braille and Speak says, enter number of pages to subtract. Press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says, okay, and once again leaves you back in your file just where you had left off. As with increasing the number of pages, if you want to decrease the size of a file, writing a dropped number at the prompt, indicating how many pages you no longer need, removes them from the file. Incidentally, when the Braille and Speak adds or subtract pages from your file, it's important for you to understand that the block being added or subtracted is being added or subtracted from the end of your file. You can't, for example, be five lines into a file and decide that you want a blank chunk of space between where you are and the next block of text you already had in the file. Or that you have a chunk of text that you no longer want and therefore you'd like the Braille and Speak to subtract that block using the commands just described. How do you add and delete text? We covered that earlier. You use the insert command or the delete command within your file for those kinds of activities. The commands described in the present sections have to do with big chunks of Braille and Speak memory. Can you see how crucial it is to keep track of free space in a file and to know how many characters are actually in that file before removing pages from the end of your file? Just as with previous commands within the Files menu, you can make a file bigger or smaller, adding or subtracting Braille and Speak pages when those files are not open. As with other Files menu commands, you point to the file first and then issue a B chord or F chord for bigger or smaller respectively, and follow the prompts to make the file being pointed to bigger or smaller. Practice with the commands we've gone over in these last few sections. The only thing left to do in the present chapter is to find out how much room we have free in the Braille and Speak. 2.5.9, free space in the Braille and Speak. As you add and delete files and change their sizes, the amount of free space in the Braille and Speak varies. From time to time, it's good to check out just how much free space you have left, especially if you're about to add a biggie. From the Files menu, you can simply write an F at the Enter File command prompt, and the Braille and Speak will tell you that you have X number of pages left. For example, it will say something like, 145 pages remaining, Enter File command. That's in the 640, of course. The number of pages remaining in the Braille and Speak Classic should never be greater than 45 pages. Section 2.6, Summary. We've covered a considerable number of ideas in this chapter.
Sure.
There are other files menu commands yet to examine, and there are other things we can do within files. Add a date from the calendar, or a calculation result from the calculator, figure out the number of physical Braille or print pages that are in a file, etc. We'll cover these sophisticated concepts in detail in the next two chapters. We'll examine a bunch of very handy features that the Braille and Speak provides for you. Nevertheless, if you've mastered the concepts of the present chapter, you're well on your way to making the Braille and Speak an indispensable tool. Chapter 3, Working with Other Tools. Now that you've mastered working with the most important feature of the Braille and Speak, reading and writing files, it's time to learn about the handy tools that are also available to you in the Braille and Speak. Think of the Braille and Speak as if it were your desktop, complete with all the tools you usually find there: a notepad, a calendar, a calculator, a loose leaf binder, a clock, even a telephone. Well, the Braille and Speak isn't a telephone, but it does let you hook up to one. We'll leave that for Chapter 4. For now, we'll learn about the other tools that come already built into the Braille and Speak. In this chapter, we'll discuss the clock and the calendar, the stopwatch and the timer, the calculator, and a few other handy features, including the macro and word exceptions checker utilities. Some of the features we'll look at are unique to the 640, and we'll point that out when we discuss them. For the most part, the functions we'll see in this chapter are choices from the Options menu, just as we saw that the Files menu is a choice from the Options menu. So let's get started. Section 3.1, the clock and the calendar. Note, in the following discussion, unless otherwise indicated, features are available in both the Braille and Speak Classic and the 640. However, most of the functions related to the calendar are only available in the 640. We all rely on our watches and the clocks and calendars on our office walls to keep us on track during the day. The Braille and Speak has both a built-in clock and calendar for your convenience. The Classic only has the clock and today's date available. Not only can you use the clock to see what the time is right now, and the calendar to check out how many days away you are from that long-awaited vacation, but also the clock keeps track of the time and date when you created a file, and the calendar can even tickle your memory to remind you when important things are happening. Let's look at the clock first. 3.1.1, the clock. The Braille and Speak's clock lets you do the things all clocks do. You can check on the current time, and you can set the time. You have a choice about whether to set the time in either American or European time. With American time, hours are announced from 1 to 12, with AM or PM. With European time, hours are announced from 0 to 23, and AM and PM are not spoken. If you have punctuation announcement to most punctuation, from the speech parameters menu, hours and minutes are announced separated by the word colon. If you have it set to some punctuation, time is announced just as a person might say it. First, let's check out what the Braille and Speak thinks is the current time. We'll work with an example. It's anybody's guess what your unit might be set to from the factory. Enter the options menu from anywhere within your currently open file with an O chord. The Braille and Speak says option. Write a T. The Braille and Speak says something like, the time is 1 a.m. You'll still be right where you left off in your file. Now let's see the difference between American and European methods for announcing the time. Press an O chord, and at the option prompt, write the letter S. The Braille and Speak says set. Now write an E. The Braille and Speak says European time set. Check the time with an O chord T. The Braille and Speak should now say something like, the time is 1. Notice that it did not tell you whether it's a.m. or p.m. That's because we set the Braille and Speak to the European method of announcing the time. When you're setting the time in this mode, you are not prompted for a.m. or p.m., of course, since you're on a 0 to 23 hour cycle. Let's return to the American method of announcing the time. Press an O chord, S, and at the set prompt, write an A. The Braille and Speak says American time set. For purposes of our example, we'll use this mode for announcing the time. Let's set the clock to the real time, shall we? We'll use an arbitrary time here, but set your Braille and Speak to the real clock so that files you create will have accurate times associated with them. Press an O chord and at the option prompt, write an S, followed immediately by a T. No spaces. You're telling the Braille and Speak that you want to set the time. The Braille and Speak prompts you with enter time, HHMM. Write something like 1215, remembering to use dropped numbers. The Braille and Speak now says enter A or P for AM or PM. Write P. The Braille and Speak confirms the time is 12:15 p.m. Great. Now we have the correct time. But how about the date? Let's look at the calendar next. Double asterisk. 3.1.2, the calendar. Note, this feature is unique to the 640, except for the ability to check today's date and insert it into a file, which is available in both models. The Braille and Speak's calendar runs like a clock in the sense that it automatically keeps pace with the clock as each new day arrives. It's important that the date be set correctly to maintain accuracy, of course. The calendar has some great features, which we'll examine in detail below. For example, not only can you check today's date, but you can also check on what day of the week a certain date falls. Go backward or forward a number of days to see what the date was or is going to be. Insert a particular date in your personal calendar, and nicest of all, set the Braille and Speak to remind you when an important date on your personal calendar arrives. 3.1.2.1. Checking today's date. Note, this feature is available in both models. To see today's date, simply press an O chord D. The Braille and Speak says something like, the date is December 25, 1992. It should be set correctly from the factory, but like the clock, this is not always the case. So let's look at how to set the date. 3.1.2.2, setting today's date. Note, this feature is available in both models. To set the date, press an O chord to get into the options menu. Now write the letter S and the Braille and Speak responds with set. Write the letter D, and the Braille and Speak says, enter date, MMDDYY. Now write today's date using only numbers and no spaces and skipping the century. Something like 010193. And press an E chord. The Bellenspeak immediately responds, "The date is Friday, January 1, 1993. From now on, the Braille and Speak will count forward based on the current time and change dates as the clock cycles through each 24-hour period. But let's suppose that you want to check back on a date, or you want to see on what day of the week a future day falls. Since the Braille and Speak knows today's date, this process is quite simple for it to calculate for you. Note, while the classic can't tell you what day of the week a certain date falls on, like the 640 can, it does let you set the day of the week. Enter an O chord followed by the letters SW. The classic responds, "Enter a number for the day of the week." Using dropped numbers, you can write numbers from 1 to 7, Sunday being 1, and then press an E chord. From then on, the classic can track not only today's date, but what day of the week today is. This is useful for pasting today's date into a calendar. Double asterisk, 3.1.2.3, getting a date from the calendar. Note, this feature is unique to the Model 640. Let's say that you want to know what day a certain date falls on because you think you have an extra charge from your hairdresser who you visit only on Wednesdays. We'll assume our sample date of December 25, 1992 as today's date. Press an O chord for the Options menu. Now write the letter G to get a date from the calendar. The Braille and Speak says, "Enter number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY. Depending on what you enter, the Braille and Speak responds differently. First, what happens if you just pressed an E chord? Try it now. The Braille and Speak should say something like, "Day number 360. Oh, it's telling us that today, Christmas Day, in our example, is the 360th day of the year. That's a handy feature to have. But let's continue with our example. Press an O chord followed by a G again, and at the prompt, enter number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY. Write 11251992 and press an E chord. Remember to write all the numbers in ASCII dropped numbers and without spaces. The Braille and Speak should answer, "The date is Wednesday, November 25th, 1992. Uh-oh. Guess you did have an appointment that day. You better pay this bill. What about if you know how many days away from today's date a date is and want to enter it into your calendar? Let's see another way to get a date from the calendar. Now let's suppose that you just got a call from your boss who wants to set up a meeting for the day before New Year's. Have to go over those end-of-year budget figures one more time. What a Scrooge calling on Christmas Day for such a thing. Oh well, better put it into the calendar. Let's see. That makes it 6 days from today, since New Year's Day falls exactly 1 week from Christmas Day. Press an O chord G and at the prompt, enter number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY. This time simply enter a dropped number 6. And press an E chord. The Braille and Speak should say, "The date is Thursday, December 31st, 1992. Incidentally, you can have the Braille and Speak count backward a number of days by preceding the number with a dash or a minus sign, dots 36. sighing, you decide to enter this meeting into your personal calendar. 3.1.2.4, inserting a date into your calendar. Note, this feature is available in both models, but in the Classic, the only date you may insert into a personal calendar is today's date. The Braille and Speak 640 comes with a file called Calendar. You might want to create one for yourself if you have a Classic. Let's get into that file now with an O chord followed by the dropped digits 02. Assuming that you have not deleted it, the calendar file sent from the factory should be the second file in your Braille and Speak 640 and should be accessible as we've just described. If you can't find it, if you have deleted it, or if you have the Classic Braille and Speak, then go ahead and create yourself a file called Calendar. With the file Calendar open, let's insert this date for the meeting next week into the calendar before we forget. Press an I chord, and at the insert prompt, simply press an E chord. If you're using a Classic and try this procedure, you'll be inserting today's date into your file. Now read your current line. The Braille and Speak should say, Thursday, December 31st, 1992. It remembered the last date you accessed in its memory and conveniently placed it in your file for you without you having to write it. Now go ahead and press a DOTS 4-6 chord, a hard carriage return. And then write yourself a note about this silly meeting. Couldn't it wait till after the first of the year? Oh well. To insert today's date into your calendar, with your calendar file open, simply press an I chord followed by an E chord, and today's date is pasted into your calendar file. A couple of words of caution. It's a good idea to enter three hard carriage returns, DOTS 4-6 chords, between one date and the next on your calendar. After each date, you'll want a carriage return followed by whatever notes you make to yourself about that date. But after you finish making notes about a date, place three carriage returns. This is because the Braille and Speak erases the last character you entered in your file when it inserts a date into your calendar and replaces it with a space. The easiest way for you to avoid confusion is to place three carriage returns between dates. To move from date to date in your calendar, then, is very simple. You can move forward or backward through your calendar by pressing DOT 5-6 chords or DOT 2-3 chords, the next and previous paragraph commands, respectively. The other important thing to keep in mind when inserting a date into a file is that the 640 remembers the last date it spoke to you. Unless you have used the insert command for something else, pressing an I chord, E chord, inserts that date into your file. If you have used the insert command for something else, pressing I chord, E chord, inserts today's date into your file. On the other hand, the Classic remembers only today's date, and so it can only insert today's date into your file when you press I chord, E chord. A quick way to get today's date and or time into a file in the 640 is with the ING sign chord, DOTS 3-4-6. Recall that in Chapter 2, we talked about this command with regard to pasting text from the clipboard. With the 640, you can also use the ING sign chord to paste today's date or the present time into a file. Press ING sign chord, and at the prompt, paste what, write a D for date or a T for time. The 640 pastes the information into your file, and if interactive is on, speaks it to you after saying OK. Practice the calendar commands before moving on to our next topic, unique to the Model 640. How to get Braille and Speak to remind you of a date on the calendar. Double asterisk. 3.1.2.5, calendar alert. Note, this feature is unique to the Model 640. The Braille SV can be set to remind you of important dates you've written into your calendar file. This is a feature that you can turn on and off through the status menu. When Calendar Alert is activated, every time you turn on the Braille and Speak, if today's date is marked in your calendar file, the Braille and Speak warns you that you have something in your calendar for today and gives you a choice as to whether to look at it immediately. Let's see how this works. To set up an example, let's enter today's date in our calendar file and make a note to ourselves. Turn your Braille and Speak on and open the calendar file. Now press an I-chord, E-chord. When you read the current line, you should see today's date. In our example, Friday, December 25, 1992. Enter a carriage return followed by a note that says, "Today I am learning about the calendar." Follow this with three carriage returns. Now enter the status menu with an ST sign, chord, dots 3-4. The Braille and Speak says status menu. Depending on where you were last within the status menu, the Braille and Speak might say something in addition to this. But let's just work with the simplest case. Write the letter J. The Braille and Speak should tell you the status of Calendar Alert. So it should say something like calendar check off. We want to activate it, so write a Y. The Braille and Speak should now say calendar check on. Exit the status menu with an E chord and turn the Braille and Speak off. Now turn the Braille and Speak on again and listen carefully to what it says. You should hear something like, "Braille and Speak ready, calendar alert. Do you want to open the calendar? Enter Y or N." The Braille and Speak will not let you do anything else until you have responded to this prompt. We'll write a Y because we want to see what's so important about today in the calendar. The Braille and Speak says today's date and immediately places us in that point in the calendar. If you check your current line, you'll see that it is right on today's date. And the following line is what you wrote as a message about that. Okay, you may go ahead and erase this if you like. Or, if it's important for you to keep old calendar dates around for a time, you might want to keep it. Just remember that for today at least, every time you turn on the Braille and Speak, you'll have to respond to this question about the calendar. The Braille and Speak isn't smart enough to know that you've already checked the calendar once today. Besides, you might just want to check it again later in the day to make sure you did everything you had written for today. Now let's suppose that you had answered with an N to the prompt, "Braille and Speak ready, calendar alert, enter Y or N." In that case, the Braille and Speak would act as it always has in the past, placing you in the file where you had last worked and with the cursor where you last had it. To turn the calendar alert feature off again, simply re-enter the status menu with an ST sign chord and write a J. At the prompt, calendar check on, write an N. The Braille and Speak now says calendar check off. Press an E chord to return to your currently open file. The calendar alert feature, when active, can be somewhat annoying if you have something in your calendar for today and you're constantly turning the Braille and Speak on and off. But its benefits far outweigh this small inconvenience. And you can always turn it off temporarily. We suggest that unless you're not going to be using a calendar very much, it's probably a good idea to activate the calendar alert feature. Even if you do have the calendar alert feature turned off, you can still check out whether you have something marked for today in your calendar, however. Basically, this is a choice from the options menu and works essentially the same way as we described a moment ago. Press an O chord A for alert from anywhere within a file, and you'll hear the familiar calendar alert prompt. Calendar alert, do you want to open the calendar? Enter Y or N. Of course, you'll only hear this prompt if something is marked in the calendar file for today. If not, nothing happens, and you're right where you were in your file before you issued the OCHORD A command. You respond to the prompt just as we've described above. This is a good alternative to having the calendar alert feature active from within the status menu. Double asterisk 3.1.3, information about your files. Note, this feature is unique to the 640. Before we leave the clock and the calendar utilities altogether, let's look at a very handy side effect of the built-in clock and calendar. You might need to know the date on which you created a file. Maybe you want to replace it with new content, or delete the file altogether, but you're not sure how old the file is. Or maybe you have a backup of a file on a floppy disk and want to compare that file's date or size with that of a file on the BrailleSpeak to see which is more current. Get into the Files menu in the usual way by pressing an OCHORD F. And at the Enter File command prompt, first write a T to see what file you currently have open. For sample purposes throughout this section, we'll say that you have the Help file open. Now press an I chord. The BrailleSpeak should say something like Help, 3 pages, date 12/22/92, time 10:38, 10,196 bytes. Enter file command. Not only do you get information about the exact date and time when this file was created, but you get the number of BrailleSpeak pages in that file, how many bytes, characters, it contains, and for files which are write protected, you would get that information too. If the file were a Braille file, that is, one where your text is in grade 2 Braille and the Braille translator is on, you would also hear that information. Finally, if you want to use this feature for a file which is not currently open, from the Files menu, simply write the letter I. The BrailleSpeak prompts you with Enter File Name. Write the name of the file you want to check and press an E chord. You immediately hear all relevant information for that file, as in our example above, ending with the prompt Enter File command. As always, when leaving the Files menu, write an E to exit and return to your currently open file. What if you just want to know the time and date, or just the number of bytes in a file? There are two options from the Files menu that can help, the M and WH sign. Let's check them out one at a time. End of side 3.